Looking for an assist with your credit card, but you can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
I feel like I need to mention this now. I was down in the clubhouse. It was 11-11. I was standing next to Kirilloff, and I said, I'm going to use this wish right now for you. I said, please, I wish that Alex Kirilloff hits a homer today. And he says, if that happens, I'm going to point to you up in the press box.
All right. So, driven to left. Kemp chasing it, looking up. And that ball is caught, a home run to the opposite field. All right, Mr. Plouf, stand up so he sees you.
He better point up here.
11-11, make a wish. Little Oppo Taco.
Yes! Yes! Oh, my goodness. I am so happy right now.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
It's going to be a great week. It's going to be a great week of baseball. It's going to be a great week of baseball. Isn't boring podcast and content. It was already a great weekend. Coming off the All-Star break, and that was another example of that home run call a day from Trevor Plouffe and Dick Bremer. The home run promise with Alex Kirilloff doing the honors for the Minnesota Twins. I want to thank FanDuel, first off. Thank you, FanDuel, for being part of our family, helping us power through the season. And everybody go to FanDuel.com/boring. That's FanDuel.com/boring to get the absolute best deals and makes a lot of money. Well, it's time to get to the meat and potatoes of this season. Heading into the trade deadline, standings have never been more important this entire year. Why? It's not necessarily determining where a team is going to finish, but teams have to define themselves heading into the trade deadline, and that would be 2 weeks from tomorrow as we tape this. All right, well, let's start with the American League East. Holy mackerel, the Orioles are one game back of the Rays. One game back. Also in the East, Toronto, they are a wild card team right now. Also, Red Sox, Yankees, tied, both 50-44. Oh, my goodness. First team, first time ever going through this many games in the season. You've had two teams, both at 50 wins in division. Every team in the American League East at 50 wins. Both the Yankees and Red Sox, they are two games out of the wild card. Going to the Central, Minnesota 2.5 up on Cleveland. Everybody else, well, okay, you want to say Detroit? They're in it. Well, they're 6 games back in the division. White Sox 8.5, probably sellers. And they're going to be defining themselves even more in the days to come, I would imagine. The Rangers came out of the gate hot. Sweet. 3 in a row. They're 3 games up on the Astros right now. And the Astros, though, they are a wild card team. Seattle, they're five back in the wild card. The Angels, ooh, devastating loss. Six games back. Everyone's got their eyes on the Angels. And the National League East, Miami's still a wild card team. Of course, the Braves, they're running away with it in first place. And the Phillies, they're just a half game out of the wild card. The Mets, get ready to sell, man. Like, give up the hope. Give up the ship. They're one of these teams that came into the break saying, well, if everything breaks right, then maybe we get back into it. They're 8.5. Probably not happening. The Reds, they're two games back in the division now. They've lost four in a row. America's team, they've lost four in a row. You know why? The Brewers, they've won four in a row. They swept the Reds. So the Brewers, two games up on the Reds. Reds, two games out of the wild card. Everybody wants the Reds to win. They want to see Ellie De La Cruz and company. Everybody else in the Central, fading fast. The Cubs, eight back. A lot of pieces there. Cody Bellinger, Marcus Stroman, really interesting, and they're eight back. Tough one for the Cubs to come back from. And Pirates, they're 10.5 back. I mean, they're only a game in front of the last place Cardinals right now. So we know where they're at. We're starting to see some of these teams define themselves when it comes to the trade deadline. And finally, the NL West. You have the Dodgers. They're a game and a half up on the Giants, two games up on the Diamondbacks. But the Giants and Diamondbacks, both wild card teams. And the Padres, good luck, man. Same thing as the Mets. You want to hope, you want to dream, but you're eight games back in the wild card after losing three in a row. So there you go. There's the standings. Wanted to give you an update of that. Felt like it was an important exercise to do heading into the week, especially heading into the last couple of weeks before the trade deadline. It is trade deadline season. Oh, and I want to make also the point of this. You want to know why baseball's in boring? We mentioned Ellie De La Cruz and the Reds, and obviously they lost, and they got to get going. They're two games back. But if you ever want to see a play, if you ever want to keep tabs of a player and what he does every day, do Ellie De La Cruz. And yesterday was a perfect example. Sunday, fastest infield throw ever since the StatCast era has begun. Fastest ever. And you can check that out on our socials, our excellent socials, with producer Evan doing an awesome job dominating. Producer Evan running the @BBIsn'tBoring Instagram account and a Twitter account. I chime in as well every once in a while. And speaking of Ellie De La Cruz, if you want to get the what's what when it comes to how they found him and his evolution, go back and listen to our podcast with Richard Jimenez, who was a scout with the Reds at the time, was basically the guy at the point guy to signing and discovering Ellie De La Cruz, 130 pounds of Ellie De La Cruz, 6'5". It's a great podcast, and since Ellie De La Cruz is always in the news, it's one that's going to make you look smart. So there you go. All right, trade deadline season. We are continuing our trade deadline confession series. It is something that no other podcast is doing. We did it throughout the All-Star game. Talked to a lot of people, a lot of players there, talking about their experience with the trade deadline. We aren't stopping there. We have five players giving their trade deadline confessions, giving us their experiences when it comes to the trade deadline. And as you hear in each of the, basically in each of these interviews, I proclaim to these guys, I have never been traded, so please tell me what it's like. I especially have never been traded at the trade deadline. So five guys, Trey Mancini, Chris Martin, Michael Fulmer, Anthony Kay, Jake Faria, all give perspective, which I thought was excellent. And also, we like stories, and there's a lot of great stories. And so we're going to kick it off with Mancini, who was involved with maybe one of the biggest trades of last year's trade deadline. He was part of a three-team deal involving the Orioles and the Astros. Really interesting when you look back at, obviously, the Astros win the World Series, so it worked out for them. But some of these other teams, the Orioles got a guy named Chase McDermott, who is a pretty good young pitcher, just got promoted to AAA. So there you go. And how about this? Tampa Bay gets Jose Siri. Jose Siri, the guy who plays center field, the guy who is having a breakout year, So it was an interesting trade. You could make a case that all three teams made out. But Trey Mancini, who now plays for the Chicago Cubs, he gives a quick gives us an opportunity to take us behind the curtain when it came to that trade, what it was like at the time, what it was like leading into it, and what it felt like across the board. All right, here you go. Here's Trey Mancini.
So there's a lot that goes into it. There's family. There's,
hey, what's up?
There's rumors. There's good, man. There's the actual trade. Take me through for you what that was like.
You're looking great, man.
Like last year?
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I was on the Orioles, we were playing really well, a lot better than anybody expected. And we were, I think, a game above 500 when I got traded. So I knew it was like a 50-50 shot. But it's crazy. You know, I'd been in the organization for 10 years and your life kind of gets uprooted, but at the same time you get to experience going to a new place and meeting new teammates and seeing different things. So you know, I loved Baltimore so much, but it was also a cool experience getting to play in Houston.
Was it, you know, the anticipation of it, like you said, you were sort of in the middle, maybe not. Was the days leading up to it sort of anxiety-ridden?
Not really, because I think there had been years before where there were rumors possibly about me getting traded, and I got caught up in it. And I finally got to the point last year where I was able to stop worrying about
really?
It.
Yeah,
didn't pay
yeah.
attention to it at all. So, you know, the one year that I didn't really think about it that much or pay attention to it too much was the year I got traded. So, you know, that's how things work in baseball.
What's the day like? How did that happen? Everyone has a story.
It was a normal day. Yeah. We were in Texas about to start a series against the Rangers. I went to the field, took early BP, and then I was actually like FaceTiming my wife after that, and I was like sitting in the outfield like turf, and the manager like came out of the dugout and like called me in, Brandon Hyde called me in, and told me I'd gotten traded to Houston.
It's tough because a team wants you, but at the same time these are your guys, you know.
Yeah. So it's like the epitome of bittersweet. You know, there's like good and bad on both sides. So, it's a crazy experience.
And the last thing is, this is like, I'm just talking to Jake Fourier over there about how his wife, basically, she springs into action. Does your family spring into action, or is it?
Yeah, my wife had to basically like move us out by herself because I was on the road in Texas. Houston was home, so I flew from Dallas to Houston and was like playing the next day. But my wife was in Baltimore and stayed back and had to move our whole life out. So it's, you know, a lot. It's more on them, I'd say, than us.
All right, another guy who was traded last trade deadline, that would be July 30th, 2022, was current Red Sox pitcher Chris Martin. And he was traded from the Cubs to the Dodgers for Zach McKinstry. So Martin, this was not the first time that he dealt with a trade deadline deal. He was also part of a deal in 2019 that sent him to the Atlanta Braves in exchange for Colby Allard from the Texas Rangers. So that's two trade deadlines. Chris Martin, two trade deadlines. And now he's going through it again, waiting to find out what the Red Sox are going to do. We think there were going to be buyers, but again, 2 weeks to go. But he gives perspective about how important these trade deadline deals can be. All right, here you go. Here's Chris Martin.
All right, there's a lot that goes into being part of a trade deadline.
Yep.
There's the rumors. There's the actual trades. There's the moving the family. There's the hellos. There's the goodbyes. Take me through when it happened to you.
Well, I can tell you the rumors. I mean, I don't know how much you can believe in them. A lot of the stuff, in my experience, a lot of the rumors were not true.
And this is the year that you were actually trying, or a couple, I mean, couple you've couple been out a few different times, yeah.
Yeah, and not going to lie, the first, in 2019 when I got traded, I'm not going to lie, I thought about it a lot, you know, kind of like, will I get traded, like, if, like, where, you know, obviously you had family and stuff you had to think about, and, you know, it was pretty exciting. You go from a team that isn't going to make the playoffs to a team that is in the hunt, and that's cool to get to experience. Yeah, it's.
Is it hard though? Like, so let's start with the rumors.
The second time, yeah, the rumors. You just, you know, obviously I've learned with it, with my experience, just to kind of stay away from.
Yeah, everything. But that's with your experience. How about when you first?
Yeah, you looked at them. You're like, man, I could go here, there, like, and it was all over the place. And then a team that is never talked about is the one who actually gets you.
So yeah,
it's So if I had any advice for any guys that are in the trade market, is just compete and play baseball.
All right.
Yeah, so.
So now the deal actually happens. When do you find out? How do you find out? Talk to someone who found out while he's going to a movie, like looking at a Twitter. You know, everyone has a different story. How did it happen to you?
Yeah, I'll go with these. I was with these guys, the Cubs, last year. It's the most recent trade I've been in. I woke up and had a bunch of missed calls and voicemails, obviously, because those guys are getting up a lot earlier than me, and I called them back and kind of had a good idea of what was about to happen. I think it was the day before the deadline, and just say, hey, we appreciate everything you did for us, but you're going to your next destination, so figure it out.
Do you expect it? Were you expecting it?
I kind of expected it last year. Obviously, you know, obviously there was a little doubt, and I didn't have, like, the greatest numbers. ERA and all that stuff wasn't great, but obviously there's some numbers that were good. And I knew I had experience in the playoffs and World Series and stuff like that, so I had a pretty good chance of going to a contender.
First time was 2019, right?
Yeah.
So was that different?
That was a lot different.
All right.
You know, that was the first time going to a contender, being in a playoff race. Man, it was stressful. you go and try to do too much. You know, the first week there, I didn't do so well. You know, a lot was on my mind. I just brought my whole family, you know, to the area, and they expect you to come out and be their ringer. Like, they just went and got you, and they needed help in that area. And you go out and you stink it up, and it's not a good feeling. But luckily, Ron Washington was a big help for me over in Atlanta. He pulled me aside and said, hey, man, you don't have to do anymore. Just go out there and be yourself. Have fun. And I was like, man, the guy's been around this game for a long time, and it was cool that he was, you know, he didn't have to pull me aside. And it was, you know, I kind of took off from there.
But thank you for saying that, because, again, this is the type of perspective that I think that people should know. We're here to educate and inform.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of guys who haven't gone through it, and you go to – did you know many guys on that team when you went there?
Over in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't think I knew anybody.
Yeah, so perfect example.
Yeah.
So I talked to Evaldi about this the other day. When he came to the Red Sox in 2018, he didn't know anybody, right? And fortunately for him, he was nails, like, right out the gate.
Yeah.
But you want to go in there and say, hey, everybody, I don't know any of you, but I am going to be your savior.
You want to prove yourself to a new team, to a new organization. Like, you want to show them that you made the right choice in choosing me. And you know, obviously for me in 19, it didn't go that way out of the gate.
But what's that like?
I learned a lot from it. You know,
you
get it. Yeah, it's part of the experience, and, you know, failure and things like that that you get out of. And you're like, man, I'm such an idiot. Like, why did I think that way? You know, and then you take that knowledge and you move on and you use it down the road.
What's it like to try too hard as a pitcher? It seems like, okay, I get it. Mentally, like, you're trying too hard. But, like, okay. How does that, like, manifest itself in actually, like, not doing well?
I think when you go out and say there's a little more pressure on you, and, you know, say you give up a leadoff hit, and now you start to feel it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, I got to do more here to get this guy out or to get the ground ball. And instead of just being relaxed and just focusing on that one pitch and convicting your one pitch at a time. And sometimes when you do a little too much, your mind is thinking about things that shouldn't be. And instead of focusing on that one pitch.
One of the things that Fulmer said was that, like, the first person he talks to is the catcher, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's the first person you got to get to, because you had been with – that's another part of this. Whether it's – you were there half a year, you still started spring training with this team, and you've developed a relationship. So that you have to – it's a steep learning curve, right?
Yeah, as you could see, there was a little bit of the growing pains for me in the start of the year.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I had a little shoulder issue, but I think the bigger thing was just trying to get to know – everyone's trying to get to know me. I was trying to get to know the catcher, Wonger and Reese and – Alfaro, obviously you don't get to work with him as much in spring. And then, you know, once that experience grows and that trust grows, like, not just from the catcher standpoint, like, Wong's got to, and Reese have got to trust, like, you know, I've got the stuff to call the right pitches and things like that. That, you start to gel, and I think that's when pitchers start to take off, is when they get comfortable with you know, the guy behind the plate.
So I always use this example, and this is a while ago, a long time ago, because it involved Torrey Hunter. When Torrey Hunter went from the Twins to the Angels, he said, "I didn't feel like I was an Angel until I hit this game-winning grand slam." Sometimes there's just that moment.
Yeah.
Right? And for you, was there a moment this year?
I mean, that's Torrey Hunter. That's one of the best players.
I mean, you think he was secure.
Human beings.
Right.
It just shows you right there, like, no matter who you are, you're still a human being, and you have... You know, there's certain things mentally that you have to get past or learn to manage.
Yeah,
like you said, he probably didn't feel like he was worthy until he did something to help the team win.
Did you have that moment? I mean, it's a little bit different with relief pitchers, I guess, but did you have that moment?
Shoot, in 2019, I'm pretty sure I gave up 7 runs in my first 2 or 3 games. I gave up a walk-off homer on the road. I remember going in that clubhouse feeling like, I mean, that I just let this whole team down and they don't even know me. But like I said, like, you know, being able to come out of that and still having success, you grow from that, and just kind of move forward and just always remember them days. Like, those are the humbling things that you got to remember.
See, this is good.
The trade deadline can teach you a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
About, you know, you as a person mentally and things like that. The strong survive.
That's good, man, because I hope somebody listens to this and we're here.
So. Trade deadlines can be stressful if it, you know, it's your first time. Obviously, leading up to it, it's on your mind. Like, man, where am I going to go? Like, am I going to go? Are we, you know, things like that. Now, for me, it's not even on my mind.
No.
I'm trying to win with the team that I'm on. And no matter what the situation is, and then if it happens, it happens. You figure it all out. One day at a time. It's an interesting time of the year. Obviously, it's like GM Super Bowl. And it's like they're working really hard behind the scenes, and you just hope your players are out here. Just, I think for the most part,
And sometimes, and I've talked to Kenley about this too. Sometimes it's like, let's put pressure on them. This, you know, like,
I think from what Kenley is saying, I can attest to this. In 2021 with the Braves, we went and got Jock Peterson before the deadline. We're like, okay, everyone, we were kind of on that edge. Like, you don't know, are we going to sell? Are we going to buy? Like, what does the front office think of this team? And when the front office goes and buys somebody, like, okay, they are.
That was a little bit earlier, wasn't it?
A couple weeks before.
Yeah, so that meant a lot, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it gives you a little spark. It's like, okay, you know, not that you really need it, but you're like, okay, the front office believes in this team and think we can win, and it gives you a little spark, and then you go and get a couple guys at the deadline, and you're like, oh, all right, they're serious. They think we got a shot at this, and then, I mean, you saw what happened that year.
All right, we're not stopping there. We got another guy who was traded last year at the deadline. That former Rookie of the Year, former first-round pick, pitcher Michael Fulmer, now pitching for the Cubs. And he was traded last trade deadline on August 2nd. He was traded from the Tigers to the Twins for minor leaguer Sawyer Gibson Long. But it was the second time that he went through this process at the deadline. Before, he was involved in a 2015 trade deadline deal as the centerpiece guy in a trade involving the Mets and the Tigers for Yoenis Cespedes. You may remember him as the outfielder, the hulking outfielder who played for the A's, played for the Red Sox, played for the Mets, Yoenis Cespedes. So that was 2015. So again, a guy who's experienced this twice, maybe looked at it a little bit different the first time compared to the second time, but either way, we're going to give you perspective that you aren't going to get anywhere else. Michael Fulmer helps with that.
We look at the trade deadline, and there's so much that goes into it. Obviously, there's rumors, there's actual trades, but there's also like the human element of it, of leaving one team, going to another. And from your perspective, like when you think of it and going through it, what's some of the things that jump out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just trying to move yourself and your family to a new city in the middle of the year. You know, I know a lot of people think that we're just ball players and show up and play ball and we feel great every single day, and but that's not the story behind it. You know, I've got a wife and 2 kids, and I did it last year. I got traded at the deadline. Luckily enough, I went from Detroit to Minnesota. We were actually playing in Minnesota at the time, so I just switched clubhouses. You know, but I think it's something that is part of the business. You know, it is what it is with that, and But I think the main thing is moving from one city to another with while taking care of a family, trying to figure out what their travel plans are and what to do with the old house and or the rent house you have in one city and trying to find a new place to stay in the other one for the next couple of months. So I think just all of it, besides the baseball aspect of things, it's more the moving aspect. And you got all your stuff in one city, you need to get to the next one, and you don't have time to go home and get it.
I mean, I guess like it's, we've heard this before, where you get to switch clubhouses. So congratulations.
Yeah.
How about the days leading into it? Like you sort of like you know what teams are sort of going to be dealing, right? And you know what positions are going to be dealing. So a lot of times there's rumor. Take me through the days leading into last year.
Oh, I mean, it's there's nothing you can do, really. You show up to the field and try to do your job for that day. Ironically enough, for me last year personally, ended up giving up the lead to the Twins like 2 days before the deadline, and then the day before, and they got traded the very next day. So it's like I was helping out the team I was going to. But you know, you can't think much of anything about it. Rumors are rumors. I don't look at any of them. Don't see them. I don't have social media anymore, so I just try to stay focused. And,
yeah, but your friends and family are. This is a little the constant theme of you're fending off social media, but you just say, if someone starts talking about it, I don't want to hear about it.
No, I mean, they know. I got a job to do, and we take one day at a time and just try to do your job for that day. Nothing's certain in this game, and it's a very humbling game. It can come quick, and the end can come quick, so... whether or not it's a business decision or not, we just kind of just going to show up and play that day and go try to help the team win.
I've talked to a lot of guys about like it's the weird dynamic of you're happy that someone values you, right? I mean, this is great. Like they're valuing, they're like oh my goodness, this guy is going to help us. And then you have the guys that you've been with since spring training, at very least, maybe longer. I mean, that's the push and pull of it, right?
Yeah, you know, you take a lot of thought into a team actually wanting to trade for you and, you know, giving up something to get you to try to make a push at the playoffs and ultimately a World Series. But a part of you thinks, like, especially with a team like this, we've got the talent to go win games, mm-hmm. to go make a push for the postseason and ultimately the World Series too. But, you know, sometimes business takes over, and when that day comes, it is what it is. I still believe in this group of guys, a great group of guys, and on paper, we've got one of the best teams in the NL, I believe, and in the Central. So I think we're just not playing our best ball right now. I think we're going to get there for sure. The second half is going to be big for us. I know we got a lot of in-division games that we can make up ground on, so we're not giving up on this team yet or any team for that matter.
The last thing is, when you've been on a couple different teams, but when you're integrated midway through the year into a clubhouse, that's a tough thing. I talked to Nate Eovaldi about this. When he was traded in 2018, he didn't know anybody on the Red Sox. And, you know, fortunately for him, he goes out and his first two outings are shutout, 8 innings apiece, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, welcome, come on in, let us buy you dinner. But that's a different thing, too, where you don't want to just come in and say, hey, everybody, I'm new, let's go. That must be a little weird, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you talk to is, as a pitcher, you got to talk to your catchers. And, you know, a lot of the guys that get traded have been in the game long enough to having faced most everybody in the league, right? So... You know, I remember last year for me, I got traded over the Twins, and Gary Sanchez was catching. I faced Gary plenty of times before, so he knew what I had. And getting traded into the division, faced all those guys a lot of times for the last 7 years. So they know what to expect to an extent, but it's kind of your thought process behind. And you know, usually your new coaching staff and any coaching staff is going to be good about putting priorities on what your thought process is, what pitches you like and what counts, what happens this, and this, and just kind of getting on the same page with the catcher is probably the biggest thing.
All right, that's good stuff. Like I said, I've never been traded. You have, and so we're here to educate, so thank you.
You got it. Thank you.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
All right. You want another first-round pick getting traded? Here you go. Anthony Kay, another first-round pick who was traded at a trade deadline, July 28th, 2019. He was traded by the New York Mets, along with Simeon Woods Richardson, to the Toronto Blue Jays for his current teammate with the Cubs, and that's Marcus Stroman in cash. So Anthony Kay, who was a guy who was a minor leaguer at the time, relief pitcher, but like I said, a former first-round pick, so clearly a value to the team trading for him. Here you go. Here is Anthony Kay giving his perspective and a great story when it came to how he found out.
What is it like? I mean, I was talking with guys, and we talk about the human side of it, you know, the player, the friend side of it, the player side of it, the family side of it. For you, was it what you thought it would be like traded at the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird. Can't really explain it, honestly. It's just like, I think I got promoted to AAA Syracuse like 2 or 3 weeks before that, so I was like kind of just getting acclimated to that, and then all of a sudden just got traded and had to go over to Buffalo, and it was just really weird, just like having to meet like a whole new set of teammates and coaching staff and all that. It was just really weird.
Was it? Well, first of all, like sometimes, you know, like I was talking to Fulmer about this, about like you sort of know the teams you're on. Like a lot of times a team is going to be sellers, and they're maybe, you know, you're a relief pitcher or something they're looking for. But like you said, you're in the minors. Did it come out of the blue?
Yeah, because I don't even think the Mets were really like that close to being in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So they were kind of like in the middle of buying and selling, so we really weren't too sure of what they were going to do. And then I remember just seeing like a tweet that we acquired Stroman, and I mean, it didn't say who it was for, so I was just texting my agent, and I was like,
"Did you? When you saw that tweet, did you think? I mean, that you could be involved in it?"
Yeah, I mean, of course you think like, "Oh, this could be me," but yeah. At the same time, you're like, "Yeah, probably not." Yeah. Like, this, who knows? And then, you know, I think in a matter of like 5 to 10 minutes,
did they
find out it was me.
Do they call? I mean, how's that? Or again, I've never been traded, so I don't know. Do they call you? I mean, you see the tweet, you wonder, you call your agent, and then does the front office call you or something, or the manager?
Yeah, so I think I saw like the tweet first that it was me, and then like a minute later I got a call from someone in the Mets organization saying that I got traded, and then like hung up with them, and then got a call from the Jays front office.
Okay, so that's a long minute.
I get real. Yeah.
So when you see the tweet, are you like to your buddies, or like, hey, like what?
So we had an off day actually, and I was just like in the Syracuse Mall with my girlfriend at the time, now wife, and yeah, we were going to see a movie, and then she was like crying because she.
You were going into the movie?
Yeah. So we were from New York, so yeah, she was like pretty upset that we were moving like away from being in New York if I ever got called up at the time. So she was a little upset about that.
Oh, man.
She quickly got over it.
Did you go to the movie?
No, we never ended up.
What was the movie? This is
it was the Toy Story at the time, the new Toy Story. I don't even remember which one it is at this point.
You didn't miss anything. So you get traded, then you go through this, and then so you go to like you said, a new team. It doesn't matter if it's the minor leagues or the major leagues, whatever. These guys, your guys, at least have come up through spring training with, maybe longer. And now you're, hey, everybody, hello. My name is, you know?
Yeah, it's really weird. I think we ended up playing Syracuse like a week later, too, which made it even more weird, because then I was facing all those guys. So, yeah, it was just weird having to, you know, meet whole new set of teammates and all that.
How long? And then the other part of it is you know, you're relying on catchers as a pitcher. You're relying on catchers, right?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that Fulmer was just talking about. Like, the first person you talk to is catchers. Hey, I throw this or I throw this. It's just a weird thing.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is just trying to get on the same page as them.
Yeah.
Trying to let them know you a little bit.
But here's the thing. The fact is that when you get traded for, like, as much as you're leaving bay behind people, they want you, right?
Oh, no, yeah, it's definitely
a good thing.
That's
cool, right?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good thing, because, you know, the other team wants you, and, you know, like you're welcome, and they're here to, you know, kind of develop you and make you into a better player.
So do you still look at trade rumors on social media or no?
I try not to, but, I mean, it's impossible to stay away from. It's all over the place. So. You know, I follow all those reporters and everything.
Oh,
so
yeah. Listen.
It's tough to say.
Yeah. It's, and even if you're off, like, your friends and family. You know?
Yeah. They're always telling you everything. So.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you for the perspective, because I've never been traded.
Yeah.
All right. To finish things off, Jake Faria of the Red Sox organization for now. And Jake Faria, obviously you may know him from his work with Tampa Bay Rays. Great guy to talk to as well. And I just want to remind everybody, subscribe, rate, review. Thank you for everybody who's already done it. We really appreciate it. We're going to keep on growing, and we're going to grow even more in the coming weeks. So when I say the coming weeks, I mean the next 2 weeks leading into the trade deadline. We're going to keep giving you this sort of content, give you perspective that you can't get anywhere else. I could wax poetic, which I probably will, on the trade deadline and what I think is going to happen, so forth and so on. But let's have people who are there, who are in the know. The last guy they're going to do it with is Jake Faria. July 31st, 2019, he was traded, a minor leaguer, was traded by the Rays to the Brewers for a veteran, Jesus Aguilar. So that's street cred right there. Listen to Jake Faria. He's excellent talking about this in terms of how it affects his family, how it affects his wife, and how it affects a guy who had never gone through this before. Hope you enjoyed all these interviews. We'll keep them coming. It's going to be a great week.
All right, so now I'm going to ask you about trade deadline. This is a fun conversation. Everyone has a different story, and not everyone. I've never been traded the trade deadline. So tell me about your story, how that came about. How that came about. Was it expected? The day it happened, like all of it.
I think it. Well, that season, 2019, I got optioned out of spring training, and I've just been up and down. I'd been a shuttle guy. I was starting in AAA, got called up, put in the pen. So I was like, once I got put in the pen in AAA, and I started throwing really, really well, but wasn't sticking in the big leagues, even after like doing well in my short stints up there, I kind of saw it coming. I was out of options after 2019. You know, I'd been there long enough to kind of read the writing on the wall. I thought it was going to be like I thought it would be way earlier in the season. I thought it'd be a minor league deal. I thought it would all like just be thrown in. You know, me and three other dudes thrown in for somebody. And so I get called up. I don't remember where we. I think we came in from New York or no Toronto. We came in from Toronto into Boston. And day before the trade deadline, I'm at dinner with my wife for my birthday, actually. And we're just like, yeah, you know, we're like, let's enjoy our last day of peace because we're pretty sure we're going to get traded tomorrow. And literally the next morning, it was like, I woke up at like 9 a.m. just ready for a phone, like sat there in my bed watching MLB Network, waiting for a phone call. And I think at like 10 or 11, got a call from...
Man, your instincts are key.
Yeah. The funny thing is, it's more my wife. Like my wife... I firmly believe my wife wanted, she could have a very high, like a high level job in baseball. Like she knows, she predicts moves like months before they're made. Like it's nuts. But so we're sitting there and like 10 or 11 a.m. I get a call from the Rays, Eric Neander, GM at the time, and just said, hey, you know, we're sending you to Milwaukee. And I was like, oh, like who's coming with me? And nobody, it's just me and... Me for Jesus Aguilar. I thought that was actually really cool. It was just a straight up big league trade.
Right. Well, that's one of the things. It's like there's so many elements of this: the family element, the build up element, and also like who am I getting traded for?
Right. So, then the Brewers GM called me and was like, "Hey, look, you know, just hold tight right now. We're looking at some other moves. If we don't make them, you're going to come meet us in the big leagues. If we do make them, probably going to option you." That's what it ended up happening. They got Drew Pomeranz from San Francisco. I got sent down. But I was just happy that it's always a nice feeling to, like when somebody else
wants
you.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough feeling to feel like your team doesn't want you anymore. But on the flip side, somebody does want you. So that was the way I was looking at it, was another team likes me enough to, you know, bring me on. And I flew out the next day straight to San Antonio, which worked out great because I have family there, my wife's family there. But my wife had to fly to North Carolina, because I was on my, I had a full apartment in Durham. So she had to fly to North Carolina to get all my stuff out of my locker, out of our apartment. Her mom flew in from Vegas to North Carolina. They drove my truck from Durham down to Tampa and unpacked a storage unit that we had there, all in like 2 days. Like, it, my wife had a way tougher trade deadline than I did. Like, it was nuts. Like, they, we had a full three bedroom townhouse worth of stuff in the storage unit, and she got either, she sorted through all of it and kept what we wanted and just donated the rest of it. Like, had a truck come pick it up and take it to a Goodwill. I don't know where it went, but she got rid of, she sorted through it in like 5 hours.
It's, people don't like understand, like, this is a part of
right.
it.
Right. And then yeah, she had my truck on a shipping truck like the next day and went from there.
So the last thing is, and you maybe answer the question, you follow the trade deadline, but like, do you have, it's sport for us, right? It's like the right. sport, but for your wife, it must be, seems like more of a hobby than even you.
Yeah, I mean, she is just as invested in this as I am. I mean, she's, because everything that happens to me affects her just as much. You know, I, like, getting called last night, I text her, I was like, I'm going up, and she scrambled, she got a flight here, like, she's already, she's in, like, she got to Chicago before I did. Like, she literally, like, she landed 2 hours before I did. And, you know, if something happens and I, you know, wherever I go from, whether it's stay with the team or, you know, go back to Worcester or wherever it is, she's the one that has to work and, like, organize getting us back there.
Yeah.
And it, so she's just as invested in all this, if not more, like, because she has to deal with the stuff off the field, which is way tougher than on the field.
Yeah.
And she does all that, so it's nice. It's really nice having her here with me.
That's great perspective. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Of course.